Well, good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, Lonesome Jack, with you this morning on Thursday, July 31st, the very last day in the month of July. And a warm one. A warm one it is. I'm coming to you live right now from our studios here in Sandpoint. But in just a moment, I will be playing a recording of an interview I conducted last Monday, I believe, sometime last week with Ali Baranski, who is the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint, which is, of course, going on right now. And it's a pretty good one. And then we'll intersperse this interview with music from some of the performers who you can expect to see this weekend as week number two kicks off. But first, it wouldn't be the morning show if we didn't do a little weather forecast. It is currently, here it is, 8:03, 8:04 now, and it is 75.6 degrees in the alley behind our studios here in downtown Sandpoint. I don't know that, I'll have to look at the almanac and find out, but I don't know that it got much below 70 overnight last night. Certainly a warm night, and predictive of some changing weather. The high today is 96, but then we have a forecast calling for a chance of thunderstorms after 5 o'clock tonight. Mostly sunny and hot today, though, during the day, and we got about a 30% chance of precipitation. Let's see here. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The overnight low is about 60 degrees, and it looks like a chance of precipitation about 40%. Less than 1/10 of an inch is called for, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Tomorrow, about 10 degrees cooler. The high is 86 degrees, and we have a 70% chance of precipitation tomorrow. The overnight low on Friday night, currently predicted about 59, and showers are likely on Friday night as well. On Saturday, the high is 82 degrees, and we have a 60% chance of rain on Saturday. Let's see here. Southwest wind become around 6 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Sure. On Saturday night, low is 56 degrees. And then on Sunday, the high is 86. And it looks like clearing weather. It looks like it's supposed to be sunny and mid-80s on Sunday. But precipitation still in the forecast. Looking into next week, high of 78 and a 30% chance of showers on Monday. On Tuesday, a 20% chance of showers, high in the high 70s, about 77 degrees on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the high is near 80 and partly sunny. So it looks like, as far as the forecast goes, today is the hot one, 96 degrees, and then won't be more than mid-80s for the rest of the week up until next Wednesday or so. Let's see. Stay tuned. The morning show is right now, obviously. And then at 1 o'clock this afternoon, we have a special guest DJ in the studio, our own Viggo Mortensen, probably the most popular guest DJ that we have these days, will be in the studio 1 to 3 o'clock mixing some tunes. I've seen the track list that he's laid out, and it looks pretty good, I must say. So you will want to tune in for that. He'll provide a little commentary, and he has selected a mix of familiar and more obscure music that I think everyone can enjoy. Certainly, if you like Otto's Eclectic Mix, you'll like Viggo's Eclectic Mix at about 1 o'clock this afternoon, 1 to 3, right before 3 o'clock. Which is when we do CP at 3, the Cedar Post at 3 o'clock. Okay, lacking anything else of great import to say, I'm going to play this recording. It's myself talking to Ali Baranski, the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint, and that'll be starting right after this. We'll do a little instrumental interlude to convey to you the sense that you are being transported back in time into last week when I spoke to Ali Baranski about the festival that is currently ongoing. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show, and here we go. It's The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson, sitting in the studio for... we're pre-recording this conversation with Ali Baranski. Ali's the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint, a nonprofit organization that, of course, puts on the annual music series here in town. And it's going on right now. We are in the middle of it. Week one is behind us. Community night was just last night. And now we are beginning the second weekend of the festival at Sandpoint. And before we get right into the rundown of the songs and the bands that are playing, let's do a little housekeeping, some reminders for our listeners. You might want to bring some items to their attention, people who are maybe just in town for the weekend, hoping to catch some shows or something. What do we have to announce about the festival at Sandpoint?
First and foremost is to make sure before you purchase a ticket, see what website you are on. It is very common for third-party resellers or just like kind of like online scalpers to sell inflated tickets that are really expensive when the shows are not sold out. And a lot of times they're misleading. So sometimes they'll say that you're in a VIP section or you have a certain row and seat, which, as most of you know, there are not seats at the festival at Sandpoint. It is a general admission seating only. And every once in a while, they'll actually sell the same ticket multiple times. And so only the first one that scans in gets in. So just really trying to remind people, go to the festival at sandpoint.com or come to the box office at the venue to get your tickets. And that way you are guaranteed that you have a valid ticket and we can provide you customer service. If you're not the one to purchase it from us, we cannot look anything up or help you because you're not technically the purchaser from us. You are from a third party. So that's the biggest thing, especially if like tickets seem too expensive. That's the biggest indicator. Double check where you are and go to the festival at sandpoint.com.
Okay. Get your tickets from the real source. Not from a third party.
And that is a good rule for any concerts, any Broadways. It happens so much now. It's really heartbreaking. So just double check where you are before you purchase.
The big change, the news this year, of course, is that you can no longer bring outside liquids to the festival at Sandpoint.
Correct.
Okay. So you can bring food.
Correct.
You mentioned this.
Thank you.
Yeah. But no... but no outside liquids.
Yeah, charcuterie for days.
Okay.
All your cheeses and dips and crackers.
Mm-hmm.
But just no outside liquids. You can bring an empty 32-ounce water bottle or smaller. Mm-hmm. And we have free water refill stations throughout the venue. Bar prices are very low and affordable. Even buckets of ice, 5 drinks for as low as $25. I think those are PAPs at 16 ounces each, or other 16-ounce canned beverages at $35 to get them in a bucket of ice and 5 of them. Increased non-alcoholic options are also available as well. So, it's just unfortunately the time that we're in, and we need insurance at the end of the day.
Okay, we're going to... I'm very excited to see how this goes, the big change. Who didn't get the memo and how upset are they going to be? Anyone? We'll find out. I'm sure you're thrilled by the...
I'm sure the security team at the gates is going to be very excited.
Yes. Let's see. Any other important housekeeping items? I think you mentioned last week that the digital program is now online.
Yeah, if you didn't come to the first weekend and you need more details, or if you forgot that we do have a digital program, there are QR codes throughout the venue where you can scan and get to it, or you can just go online or even our Facebook to find it. And it's just a really helpful guide if you forget what times the shuttles run or where to park or maps of the venue or bar menus, or to learn about the opener that you're listening to tonight. You're able just to hop on there and get everything that you need to know in one place in our beautiful digital program that our marketing manager, Sienna Roget, made. And there's also clickable hyperlinks. So if you want more information on anything, you can just click right through.
Okay. Tonight, as our listeners are experiencing it, tonight would be Thursday, July 31st. And if you walk on down or ride your bike on down to Memorial Field tonight, what can you expect? Who's taking the stage?
Brothers Osborne with the Cruz Brothers. Double brothers.
Whoa.
Double brothers. And that's not to mention last weekend we had another brother. So it's just, there's a lot of brothers in this year. Mm-hmm. Big country night. We're really excited. The Brothers Osborne duo is extremely talented. Their most popular song is Stay a Little Longer. They were nominated for a Grammy this last year, did not get it, but even being nominated, I think, is a good indication of skill and talent. Mm-hmm. They have been, I know we're kind of pre-recorded, but they have been our number one show for most of, you know, anything can change in the end, but you were asking last week.
Yes.
What was selling, and Brothers Osborne, technically in this moment, has been our number one spot.
Well, color me surprised. I didn't think that was, they would have been maybe my fourth or fifth guess.
Okay, well.
Just curious. I don't know.
I'm going to challenge you, Jack, to watch their tiny desk.
Okay.
And you might become a fan.
Okay. Well, there we go. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly nothing against them. I just, seeing some of the other names, I thought it's going to be Third Eye Blind. Or something like that.
You might have a realization on the why.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out. So Brothers Osborne is Thursday, July 31st. And the opener is the Cruz Brothers. And we're going to play a song called Stay a Little Longer. And anything else to say about that before we do?
No, the Cruz Brothers was just a really late addition. But I've listened to them and I think they're also going to be extremely fun and someone that you want to see now.
So. Okay. Here we go. It's the Brothers Osborne on 88.5 KRFY. We're back. It's the morning show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jake Peterson, and I'm talking to Ali Baranski, the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint. The festival is currently underway, and we just heard the Brothers Osborne, who are playing tonight, as you hear my voice. They are playing tonight, Thursday, July 31st, at the festival. Before we talk about what's coming up tomorrow, I mentioned riding one's bike down to the festival, which is my usual way of getting there. You guys doing what's the parking, walking, biking situation this year? And is there anything new and different?
Yes,
going on.
Great call out. Mm-hmm. As always, you can take a shuttle by parking at the Sandpoint High School and taking our spot bus shuttle. We've partnered with them. It's a great, great option for people who want to just get dropped off right in front of the venue. Mm-hmm. Obviously, walking is highly encouraged. And then this year, we've partnered with Emily and the amazing team at POP, or Pondere Peddlers, and they are doing a park or a bike in the park area valet. And so you can even, you know, donate to them and they'll even kind of grease your chain and give you a little tune up. So it's been really fun, really to have the capacity to be able to add in more cool community elements like that. And they've been a great partner and we're excited to see, you know, how it goes and and how they feel at the end of the day. I'm curious to see the quantity of bikes too, to see if it increases, knowing that there is a bike valet.
Where's that set up? If you bike down, where do you aim for?
More towards Lakeview Park.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Kind of back by, I'm guessing, the tennis courts area.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. The bike valet. I think I'll be taking advantage of that. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on tomorrow night, Friday, August 1st. Who's playing?
Friday, August 1st is Kansas with Vika and the Velvets. I mean, Kansas doesn't need, I can't not hum Carry On My Wayward Son when in my head after I say Kansas. They don't need much of an introduction. They are iconic, classic rock band. This show is a seated show, meaning that there is not a pit in front of the stage. So you will actually be able to sit up in the front sections as well. We just always remind people, keep your blankets close, make room for your neighbors. The closer we sit, the more people get amazing views. And also the grandstands are an amazing place to have great sight lines and sound as well. So, yeah, Kansas is going to be playing in our little neighborhood in Sandpoint, Idaho, which is pretty crazy.
It kind of is. This is probably the one I would have guessed now that I'm thinking of it. If not Third Eye Blind, I would have guessed Kansas as probably the big seller, the big popular item this year. Be my guess.
Top three.
Okay.
Top three.
There you go. I'm not surprised by that. Let's see. Kansas, one of those great bands that has a place name for the name of the band, which I always like to see. And I think they're the only one I can think of that's named after. Never mind. There's a band called Alabama. I was going to say they're the only one that's named after a state. A lot of them are. You got Chicago.
Yeah.
Boston. The Kansas, I was thinking, might be the only one named after a state, but Alabama is also named after a state.
I'm impressed. I knew there was another one, but I'm impressed that you came up with it.
I was trying to think of it for a second there. Okay. That's a trend that kind of came and went, right? It's not something people do anymore.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Even just the one word band is not, there's always an and now.
Yeah.
So-and-so and the so-and-sos.
I think you're right.
But yeah, the one word, remember like the band?
The band.
The band. Uh-huh. That was never confusing.
No, I know. Yeah. The band and the Who are both, just kind of deliberately confusing band names. And I like them both, honestly, but it could have, wouldn't it have been ironic if the band was not a very good band? If they weren't one of the greats.
We would probably not know who they were then.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah. We wouldn't know.
Yep. Okay. But we've been talking, what we're really supposed to be talking about is Kansas. And anything else to say about that show? You mentioned it's a seated show.
It is a seated show. Early entry, sold out.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's, I look forward to it. I learned Dust in the Wind on my guitar in middle school. I think it's just it's a household name. I think it's going to be very multi-generationally just cool. I like seeing shows when, like, Beach Boys, and where you just see, like, kids belting the words or singing along as 10-year-olds and 90-year-olds, and it's just, I don't know, it fills my cup.
Yeah. Friday, August 1st, that's tomorrow night, if you're listening to this on Thursday, July 31st, and the band is Kansas. What are we going to play? What do you think? Carry On My Wayward Son or Dust in the Wind?
Oh, gosh. I think Carry On My Wayward Son.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good call. Okay, we'll do that. Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas coming up next, and we'll be back with more talking to Allie Baranski right after this.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Kansas, classic rock here on 88.5 KRFY. Plays all the hits. The Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, talking with Allie Baranski from the Festival at Sandpoint about the Festival at Sandpoint, running down the full list of 9 shows, I guess, this year. Mm-hmm. And we are at the penultimate one coming now to Saturday, August 2nd will be our next topic of conversation. The last, the last popular music night. Is that what we'd call it? As opposed to classical music mm-hmm. night. Yep. So not truly the grand finale because there is a grand finale, but I kind of think of the last Saturday night as something of a, you know, a capstone mm-hmm. usually. And, no doubt that that is true this year. You have four acts playing on Saturday night. Okay. On Saturday, August 2nd. When you have four, does it turn into a longer show? Do you have to change the hours or anything like that?
This one is.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for like minutes of music mm-hmm. to ticket price, this is your show. Uh-huh. It is like over 3 hours of music. So we're like not including intermissions or changeovers. It is a lot of music. So people are really excited for this one. Doors open an entire hour earlier. So that means early entry is at 4:45, while general admission doors are at 5. I've been trying to tell everyone because people kind of get into their rhythm with the mm-hmm. festival. And so this one's kind of a wrench in like when you should, you know, get off your boat and get showered and get ready. So everything's an hour earlier. And, you know, Paul Gunter is a saint because 4 bands is a lot to coordinate. It's a lot for our hospitality that there's a contract for each of them, but we're just like, so it's going to be so fun. And I've heard Dispatch as a request for a while, for the festival at Sandpoint. And then of course, John Butler with band joined by G Love and Special Sauce and Donovan Frankenreiter. I mean, it's jammed packed with music and like really quality high level music. And I think I like that a lot of the support has already played here. So people kind of already have their fandom, or I'm starting to hear stories about back when, you know, Donovan Frankenreiter came into iCarts. And so it'll be really fun. Dispatch's biggest song or most popular song is The General. I think quality wise, I mean, John Butler is just so talented. So I think it's going to be a really fun night for music lovers.
I believe I was at when the John Butler Trio headlined at the festival. Mm-hmm. I think I caught that show and was excellent. I would go. Yeah, I'd go to another John Butler show if it was just him. But the fact that you've also got Dispatch. This is the one. This is the one for me, I think. This is the concert that I am personally most looking forward to. Dispatch is a, indie / roots band from Middlebury, Vermont, that was active. Most, I guess, popular, their early years were 1996 to 2002.
Yeah.
And that was kind of probably, I would guess, the height of their popularity. But yeah, they were.
Yeah, and they kind of have like a cult following. And
yeah,
how I describe it, it's hard to always describe people's genres anymore.
Very, yeah.
But kind of like Donovan Frankenreiter, even like G Love has a little more like, what would I call like surf rock? Donovan has kind of sounds a little bit like the same similar sound as like Jack Johnson, like kind of those like beachy vibe. So people have asked like, do you have reggae? I'm like, well, G Love is probably as close as we are this year. It's just a little more beachy than it is like true reggae. But yeah, people are very excited for this show.
When there's 4 different bands. Dispatch is the headliner. Does that mean they will be playing last? Or do you know?
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yep. They will be playing in the order. So Donovan's first, then G Love, then John Butler, then Dispatch.
Cool. Let's do it. Let's play a little Dispatch. I might as well play the hit. We'll play The General, and then we'll be back to close things out and talk about the grand finale right after this. This is Dispatch. Dispatch, the song is called The General. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. Dispatch is playing at the festival this weekend, Saturday, August the 2nd, along with it's a fully packed show. They're playing with John Butler and his band, G Love and Special Sauce, and Donovan Frankenreiter, all those bands playing on Saturday, August 2nd. At the festival at Sandpoint. And then we come into Sunday, August 3rd, which is the grand finale. We're here in the studio talking to Ali Baranski, the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint, the organization responsible for putting on this concert series for what is now the what year?
42nd.
The 42nd year.
42nd year.
Okay. This is, I guess, about the end of our special preview show for the festival at Sandpoint 2025. What can you tell us about what's going on Sunday, August 3rd?
Yeah, Sunday, August 3rd is our grand finale. It is a classical symphonic programming this year, not a movie and concert. And the title or theme is Sounds of Summer. So how it all started was we realized that it was the 300th anniversary of Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
And so we wanted to kind of lean in and highlight and honor that. And working with our concertmaster, local Jason Moody, and then our conductor, Morihiko Nakahara, they helped come up with some amazing programming that's very kind of spring and summer. So we will just be doing spring and summer of the Four Seasons of Vivaldi, as well as other pieces as well. Our orchestra, our Festival at Sandpoint Orchestra, will have about, 50 people, and they're all either locals or Spokane Symphony musicians that we work with individually to make up our orchestra, and a lot of locals as well. So that's always a really fun night. It ends in fireworks. For me, it's just a really quiet night. We have Cheers as well, which is our wine, beer, and spirits tasting event that happens within the event itself. So there is a ticket price for that. If you buy ahead of time, it's $12.95. If you buy day of, it's $14.95, but that runs from 5 until 7. So 2 hours. Pretty great deal. You get your own commemorative cup, and you get to go taste different spirits, beers, and wines from the region, and then sit down for a beautiful evening under the stars listening to some classical symphonic music.
Mm-hmm. Can you define for me what is a concert master as opposed to a conductor?
So a conductor is the one who's actually standing up in front of everyone. I think that, most people know that. But okay. They do help create the programming, and he has great insight on what works, what doesn't work, how long he will speak for about certain pieces so we know the right time frame. Mm-hmm. Jason is way more involved. He helps us highlight, our instrumentation, how many violas we need. And then helps actually find those people helps us contract. He works with the licensing for the music. So we pay for the licensing, how to have the rights to play the music. So he does a little more of the specialized side of the organization of putting it all together. Musicians. He works with our hospitality team, making sure that everyone, has W-9s and we know, food allergies and things like that. So because it's such a big event and there's so many people who make up our Festival Sandpoint Orchestra, there's a lot of moving pieces that are happening while we're at the venue. So they actually have in-person rehearsals in Spokane at a facility there in the days leading up to it. So they can practice and make sure, everything's working and sounds good. And so he helps coordinate and lead that, make sure everyone knows where to get to. He's really a bit of a secret weapon. And we're so grateful that not only he's he plays with the Spokane Symphony, he's a professor, but then he's also a Sandpoint local who has grown up with the festival at Sandpoint and understands all of our education programs and our mission and what we do.
Are most of the musicians from Spokane?
It's a mix, but yeah, a lot of them are. We mostly just due to quality. I mean, we worked with the Spokane Symphony for our first 39 years. And after COVID, and just where our season is out of their season. So their musicians are off, their conductor is off. So Morihiko is one of their region or rotational conductors that kind of steps in. And so he's actually from the East Coast. And so we fly him out, and he's been so great to work with. But yeah, it's a mix, but majority of them this year, because it's not as big. Last year we had like 78 players. So the majority this year are from the Spokane Symphony, but because we were out of their season, they couldn't swing it anymore. They couldn't get enough people, and it was too expensive. So we wanted to keep it going and honor the tradition by hiring those, but also opening it up to local musicians as well through an audition process.
Okay. Well, there we have it. We'll play a little something from The Four Seasons by Vivaldi. Probably Spring. I think that's the most
Nice.
recognizable. We'll do that, and then it'll be on to Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that. I don't know, Ellie. Anything else? Anything in summation here for the festival at Sandpoint as you head into the second weekend?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I always feel just so grateful for this community and the people who kind of rally together to make it possible. On paper, the festival at Sandpoint shouldn't exist here, population-wise, financially. But it's really the donors, the volunteers, the tireless staff, just everything that the community, all of our in-kind sponsors and businesses who support us, is really why we exist. And so I just want to say thank you to everyone who sees the value and importance of this cultural event that we put on, and bring in the economic impact, and just like exposing the arts and access to our area, and all of the volunteers. I mean, we could not do it without them. The only other last thing is just in the highlight of celebrating donations, we are also doing through the festival itself. So through the grand finale, if for every $20 you donate to our nonprofit mission and our education programs, you'll get put into a drawing for a season pass for next year. So if you want more raffle tickets put into that pot, you can donate larger quantities of, the $20 increments. And so we'll be announcing that in mid-August. It has been, as I'm sure you know, Jack, like funding grants, things are a lot tighter, especially for nonprofits. And so more than ever this year, donations really matter. Donations are what keep us afloat and the lights on. And I think with ticket prices, people assume that we have a lot of money, but most of that goes to the artists. It's like not, the margins are razor thin for concerts and the music industry for the venue and promoters. So I'm just grateful that we have such an amazing community that donates their time, resources, money, because they see our mission as being worthwhile and important. So I just want to say thank you, and just so grateful that I get to be the steward of something so cool that brings the community together.
Well, that's a great note to end on. Let me change gears and end on a totally different note instead, which is I have some weird questions for you, Allie. A
Oh
couple
my
of weird
gosh.
questions.
I'm so
Okay.
excited.
All right. Here's my question. Question number one. Does anyone from not who lives here already, does anyone from out of town come to the festival and stay for the whole 2 weeks and go to every show?
Yes.
Yes, that
Yes.
does happen. Many people, a couple people.
I would say the unique thing about Sandpoint is summer homes.
Yeah.
So that is unique. So if they do have, I'd say it's very common for those individuals. When you look at our geo reports of where purchases are coming from, it's about 50% of out of state. How many of those people is it their secondary home? So their billing address is coming from somewhere else. But yeah, there are a lot of people who come and stay for the entire thing or one whole week of the 2 weeks.
What are you guys what are you up to? Let's see, it'd be Monday and well, really Monday and Tuesday are the only days that you don't have anything going on, isn't that? Since between the beginning and the end, you take Monday and Tuesday off.
Yeah.
What do those days look like?
Those are called our dark days, but I mean, we get to sleep in longer because a lot of times bands are rolling in sometimes 7 a.m. the next morning, and the last band just left at 3 a.m. So it's pretty grueling.
Yeah.
There's a lot of prep, like remaking sure everything's good, some shopping and ordering for things, inventorying bar, making sure we're putting in orders for things. It's a really quick turnaround of just like checking in with the venue, updating things, taking out broken chairs. But yeah, it is quieter. It is nice, but it doesn't mean people aren't working. It's just a different form of it.
Mm-hmm.
The production crew, I mean, they're watching weather, wind. It's never off. Making sure everyone batten down to the Festival Street booths and things during the time that they're gone. There's security there at all times that can also help make us aware. And then there's actually people who live there for the run. You know, our company that has the speakers and sound systems, they will be there. So if anything happens in the middle of the night, they can go cover their speakers. And so, yeah, we're not off, but it definitely is less.
Yeah.
A slower roll.
Okay. What was my? I had one more question I wanted to ask you, which was something interesting. I'm sure something interesting and stimulating, but I didn't write it down, so I don't know what it is. The concert series. I guess you are already probably looking into what you're going to bring for 2026.
Oh yeah, offers are already out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to reveal them on the air right now, unless you want to.
No, oh. I will not.
Okay. My last question then is this is a pre-recorded interview. So you have not yet seen any of the shows. You can't say what has been your favorite so far. All you can do is say, what's the one you are most looking forward to? And I asked you this question, I think last time you were here, and I think I remember what you said. Let's see if it matches.
What are you
right now most looking forward to?
It is so hard. I find that, so I actually don't watch a lot of the headliner. Mm-hmm. I have to go work.
Yeah.
So I miss out on some of it. But my favorite part of all of it is I go and I stand where I'm facing not the band, but the crowd in the very front, and watching just like their joy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like feeling like we are a catalyst of joy. Like we've all year and all of the details, like we are creating some pretty cool experiences for people. So a lot of times I find in hindsight, it's the shows that there are kids at who are just like, you can see their minds are being blown and they're having a new experience. For example, in the past, Lindsay Sterling, like all the little girls, being so inspired. So knowing that, I think community night will be very fun, and also Sierra Farrell. I think nostalgia wise, I'm excited for a lot of the other ones. There's not a show that I'm not excited for, but I know I'm a little biased. I have a 6-year-old daughter who is beside herself about Sierra Farrell. She has a tiny desk where she wears flowers all in her hair and on her face, and she always has flowers on her mic stand. And so I think seeing little girls, and specifically my daughter, like just light up, being able to see what other people can do, and she's faced a lot of adversity, Sierra has. And so I think that will be cool to witness.
Mm-hmm. Well then, Allie Baranski is the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint, now in its 42nd year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go out with a real classic by Vivaldi. And then it's on to Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio.